To say that for the end of the Mass. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. I don't know that too good, but I know what's in my heart, and I know that we're so gifted with the gift of the Eucharist and the priest that we have to sing alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. That just doesn't express it, but at least we said a little something. And that's what the gift of the Eucharist is. It is so great. And we're trying to get that Spanish the Spanish Mass book was translated, hid the imprimatur. I was trying to get out some little books of that Spanish, so we should have those. We've had it for a long time, and the Blue Book 2 in Spanish has the imprimatur too, and there's a lot of Spanish-speaking people that come to the site, so we think if we put like maybe 9 messages in a book, it would make a big difference. I'll tell you, the devil sure don't want those books in Spanish. Because it's been a struggle the whole time. And the guy that did it, I know, really suffered doing it. So it's a great gift that God has given to us. The Mass book and the Blue Book too. And the Spanish version has the imprimatur of both of them. So all I had to do is get some little ones out. And that'll tell the Spanish-speaking people how great the Blue Book 2 messages are. Lord, receive all my liberty, my memory, understanding, my entire will. Give me that's enough for me, your love and your
Take Lord, receive all I have and possess. You have given all to me, now I return it. Give me only your love and your grace. That's enough for me. Your love and your grace is enough for me. Take, Lord, receive. All is yours now. Dispose of it wholly according to your will. Give me only your love and your grace. That's enough for me. Your love and your grace is enough for me. Take, Lord, receive. Jesus has given us these tremendous gifts in the Blue Book writings. And as we read through the Blue Book 4, and Father Carter had discerned almost all of that book, and then he discerned a lot in my notebooks. And we have a priest that goes through everything that we put out there. I could tell my life changing more and more every day and see the place where I was at and the place where Jesus wanted me to go. But this is the fifth Blue Book right here, and it's really all on the internet, and I just have to read through it enough times to get it out. But I'll tell you, the fifth Blue Book, he has really changed my life. I love Jesus more than I ever loved him before. And the knowledge of knowing more and more how to love others has been revealed to me in a way that I never even saw before. And we can spend the rest of our lives learning how to love as God wants us to do. He's given us a whole lifetime because we're so imperfect. We're the children of Adam and Eve. And it's just such a gift to have these writings, to have Jesus tell us about pure love. Loving him more purely. Loving one another more purely. And as I keep reading this, I keep having the words of how deeply God loves us just ingrained in my cells. And that's where it has to be, because it is such a habit with all of us. Maybe in ways that we've been jealous or self-focused or whatever it is, it's almost that we need to constantly saturate ourselves with the truth of how purely God intends us to love. That is why we are here, is to love God and to love one another. And when I started doing the fifth Blue Book, it read to me like poetry and sweetness that I cannot even describe. And it helped me to be more like God wants me to be. Except it's constant. It has to be that constant saturation for all the years and the habits and the way that we may be because of our tendencies to be unloving. That need to be changed. It has to be a constant thing where we read these messages, where we realize how deeply God really loves us. And at times I'm just saturated to the point where it's like, if we don't do, why would we want to do anything else but love on this earth? That's what God is. He's love. And yet there is so much evil in the world, and it presses down, and people are disappointed, and people have been hurt.
and things can come like somebody pulling a rug out from under you. And this peaceful, loving person, this connection with God, can all of a sudden become a challenge. Almost like a dark night of the soul in dealing with this problem. Because of the imperfections in the world and because of the desire within yourself so deep to be one, the more we become one with God, the more any kind of division almost tears our heart apart. Because we've tasted what it is to love more deeply. And that is why we were created. That is what satisfies us, is the love of God. And to taste it a little is to want more and more and more and more, because we realize that the monetary things that are in this world are never going to satisfy us. And we're not going to be completely satisfied here at all anyway. Even in the highest ecstasy that I was in, I said to Father Carter, I said, Father, I just felt so full. He says, Rita, you're never going to have that fullness here. And at other times I would feel so full, and yet the bitter sweetness and the agony of not having that complete fullness was almost agonizing. To know how great and wonderful the love of God is, but not be able to possess it fully here below. And if we do not see what the vision that God is imparting to us, especially in this revelation, we are missing a great gift. And so if I write all these revelations and try to get them out until the day that I die, because there's at least 10 blue books. And so I started doing the 6th blue book, and I could see the immersion of the writings of Father Carter and what Jesus had given me in the 6th blue book, and it's totally different than the 4th. Because in the 4th blue book, it's the love between Jesus and Mary. It opens up our heart to that measuring stick of knowing what pure love is. The divine God loving so sweetly his mother, the highest human person. Isn't that what we are? A human person given this craving to unite with the divine God, our model. And that is the thing that needs to be out there, especially in our churches and with our priest, having from the words of Jesus about his love for Mary, the highest human person, and from the words of Mary herself, the love of the divine God, purity, our model. I am a human person. God is a divine person. I can read the writings of the 4th blue book and see what it is to know more about relationship between the divine God and a human person. From Mary, the sinless one, who speaks to us of her love for her son. And then I get into the 5th blue book, and the 5th blue book to me, it just reads like poetry, joy, and sweetness. It has made for me a measuring stick out there in almost the 60 years that I've lived that I've never seen, even when I received the messages, not knowing what I know now 11 years later. A measuring stick to know how far I am from loving purely and sweetly as God intends me to do in loving him and loving others. And that is what it is. It is the blindness of the human person. That has been tainted by original sin, that sees with a dimmed vision, that does not comprehend the importance of the life here below and why I am here, which is to learn to love God and to love one another. The tasting of the emptiness of those things on this earth that do not satisfy the craving in the soul created for God, which can be satisfied by Him alone. Do you ever read Rosary Book? And so I sing with deep joy in my heart from being saturated in the messages that God has given to me, with a desire to know ever more deeply the insights into these divine mysteries which are unfolding before my eyes, and the desire within me to reach, to touch the heavens, for this is reality. It's not made of hard plastic and rocks and the things of this earth, but of the tenderness of the love of God, who speaks to us of what love is all about. In a song from Jesus, I sing. I knew that was too high. I love you this day. I am your ardent love. You wander, oh, so far. Your soul knows it is hungry. This satisfies. We can go and seek all the things of this earth, but the thing that satisfies is the love that we have with one another, the oneness, the giving, the being more perfected like Him that drives us into a union that is peace and joy. You want to know the truth. Of paper between this life and the life hereafter, to be with Him for all eternity, the divine God, to realize that how we love God here and mature in that love will make the difference into how we enjoy the favors of heaven for all eternity. So many short years, and it can be a young child that gets killed in a car wreck, or a 20-year-old, who knows? Our life here is promised to no man,
And the body itself indicates to us how temporary it is. One of the messages I had was like the body is like this, becomes like this old ship. You know, as we grow more and more in the spiritual life, we only get one ship. And it starts to wear out. And when it's over, it parks at the dock and there it is. It's just, there's the old ship. But the beauty of it all is the fact that for all eternity, all those things in our heart, our love, our knowledge of God, the sweetness that we shared in relationship goes on for all eternity. This is the message that God wants to give from this site in Florida through the Blue Book messages. Help me to tell a world that is hungry. And if they do not realize the gift that God has given into these messages, it is our own loss. The more I read the fifth Blue Book, it's like, Rita, until the day you die, you got to keep getting these books out here. And if the people today do not appreciate it or they are not ready, there will be an era of peace and love because God has told us this. And Our Lady at Fatima, the age of the two hearts, in which men will love one another as God intended from the beginning. And they will live by these messages of love. We learn about God from studying God, and He has written of His love so beautifully in these messages. This is the message from God's Blue Book, Volume 5. One of the ton of messages that is in here. Thorns around His heart. If I think I have said anything unkind about anyone, it saddens me so badly. I don't want to ever hurt anybody He loves. God, forgive me for all I do that is wrong and never enough. For all I do to justify myself or ignorantly do that I should not have. I see your heart and I love you so much. I love you, I love you, I love you. And that's not saying that we're all cushy-wooshy love. That we just go around and we don't ever say anything because we wake up every day with a plate of problems. And every day we need God's grace to deal with the problems in love. And problems are problems. We don't take a problem, stick it under the rug and say, that's done. Every problem that we have must be handled according to the will of God. And problems are troublesome and they hurt. But those problems, in the dying of those things that are not like Him, is in the resurrection that makes our joy and our peace inside. And our journey here is a constant battle to learn the ways of God. Are the thorns around your heart for your agonies to the heart suffered so because of your great love for us, for all those who do not even care? I am sorry, my Jesus. I love you so much. I love you. I love you. I love you. Father, forgive me. I know not what I do. How I am trapped and do not realize I offend you. Oh, I love your heart. And Jesus says on October 23rd from the first Blue Book in 94. I like this one. It says, this will be the best day of your life. I remember when I was reading this, I was having a really hard day. And I opened it up and it said, this will be the best day of your life. And I thought, oh, Jesus, it don't feel like the best day of my life. But in the death, there is the resurrection. and the dying to those things that are not likened to him are the things that lead us to greater peace and joy in those things that really count. And through the problems that we face according to his will, we can grow in deeper life in him. So he says, this will be the best day of your life. You will fall deeply in love with my heart. Well, that makes it different. If I'm going to fall deeply in love with his heart, I guess it would be the best day of my life. And so what does Jesus say to me? Jesus says, and I don't hear him. If I really realized what Jesus has said in these messages, if I realize how deeply he loves me and that this is what I was created for and I crave, I would not stoop to be so unloving so many times. I love you this day. So far, your soul knows it is hungry for only my love. This will be the best day of your life. You will fall deeply in love with my heart. I am he who loves you dearly. You are accompanied by the angels and saints. Isn't that great? We thought we were all alone, like we're walking down this dark hall and we're all alone and feeling scared. And he says, I am he who loves you dearly. You are accompanied by the angels and saints. And Mary forever walks by our side. He says, all know you and love you. All the saints, he's saying, know me and love me. Isn't that great? Not only does God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwell with me in a special way when I'm in the state of grace, so I'm not alone, but all the angels and saints know me, and they love me. Come into the heavenly court and live in the love sent to you from heaven. Come into my most precious heart and dwell forever in the abyss of my dear love for you. Now think about God's love. That God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, who took on a human baby body, and he gave his life to his death on the cross so that one day we would share with him. In that fullness of life, if we love and serve him, think of God's love now. As I pray this rosary, think of God's love. Let's open up our hearts and let the problems and the things that are in our lives dissolve. And just focus on the greatness of the lives of Jesus and Mary given to us in the rosary, of the reality that God truly loves us so much, that he is always with us, and that Mary, our mother, always walks by our side. And even in the deepest problem, when we feel like we're looking at the crucified face of Jesus with the blood running down his face, and we feel like he is not helping us in the problem, know that he is allowing us to suffer at this time and accept it, because in his timing, in his way, when we pray to him and ask him, he will help us, but we must be patient. We must wait on the Lord. We must let him take the initiative. We must realize that the very hairs of our head are numbered, and we are never alone. And in the suffering, there can be joy in being united to him, but it may not feel like that many times. And so we look at the face of Jesus with the blood running down his cheeks and the crown on his head.
And we say, Jesus, I accept this suffering at this moment. For I do not know what else to do. And you are not moving it out of my way. I love you so, Jesus. I love you. In the trials in life, I love you. And the joy comes in the ways of knowing that He is always there. That there is the resurrection after the death. That there is deep joy in our heart in realizing from these messages that God has given to us how real that love is that God has for us. This is where our joy lies. This is where our joy lies in trying to learn to be united, and the world teaches us many times that we should be competitive and jealous and whatever else, lustful. I don't know what the world's teaching a lot of sick lessons. And God says, if you really want that peace in your heart, the peace that helps you when you lay your head on the pillow at night, that peace comes in working on your love union with others. And that doesn't mean sacrificing that which is not right. To have an easy solution. That means some of the things that we do are the hardest things. And yet they are the ways of love, the ways of God, the ways that go according to His plan. Wishing all well and praying for all of the imperfection and the sin in the world, and realizing that our prayer can majorly make a difference to this world. Think of God saying this to each one of us tonight, no matter where we're at or where we're suffering. And He may allow us to go through tremendous suffering, but in all of that, the words of God are the words of this song. I love you this day. Meditate on my passion. Let go of your focus on yourselves. See me as I stood by in all my trials. I fell under the cross. They poked me. They pushed me. But I remained in perfect peace with the weight of my cross laying on my back as I was on the ground. They poked you, Rita. They pressed from all sides. You remain at peace in my heart. Go there and find refuge. It is in my heart you know my love. It is in my heart you know the love of the Father. I love you. The Father loves you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. That is the key. The most perfect community is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in one God. And so the devil comes and he says, well, you don't have to make peace with that person. Some people won't make peace with us. But in our hearts, we wish them well. We love them despite that. We don't say that problems are cushy things that we shove under the rug and we don't look at because they are painful. We say that every problem that I have is a problem that I have to solve with God, and my heart has to remain in love. Once the anger gets in there, we open up the door to Satan. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Take refuge in my heart. Think of the love between the persons of the Trinity. Can you even fathom that love? Because I tell you tonight as a messenger from God that this is reality, that we live on this earth here and we look at all these things here. But the messages that he keeps giving to me, the messages in the blue book, are those things that raise us to greater heights and the reality of how we can spend all eternity. If we work on our love relationships with him and others here below. So you say, well, I want this and I want that and I want this and I want that too. Who wants to lose their job or lose all that they have? Who wants that? But the thing of it is, however he allows us to go through that death, to experience the resurrection, he is always with us. And the joy of our hearts can become more keen as I read these messages that God has given. As I let them saturate like a tea bag into my soul from all the years, if I've had 60 and you've had 40 or whatever the case is, but from all the years when I was living more in the ways of the world and struggling and trying to know what God's love is and what love is between persons. God, through his grace, as we read these messages, will teach us about his love and the love that we need to have with each other. It is something that we must work for. It is not that you sit down and you got your pencil in your ear and you're sitting there and it's just going to be hard work because I'm going to learn about love today. But in the tender love letters that God has given to us, and he tells us the reality of the heights of heaven. That's what he's saying from this site here. That's why Jesus' face appears. I sit here and I say the same thing I said in Immaculata in 1995 after I got a lot of the blue books, all that's out there already. And I go over there in Immaculata, and Mary was starting to appear to me, and I'm saying to God in the back of church crying because I was trying to get that rosary program out that Mary told me I needed to do for the schools. And I'm sitting over there in the back of Immaculata where Mary appeared to me and Jesus appeared on the cross, and I'm saying to Jesus, you know, you can do a miracle here. And then they'll believe. Jesus, nobody's believing me. What am I supposed to do? And I'm sitting back there, and then I hear him say, I give you my word. Not like the word, the scriptures, but the letters of love that he gave to me in the blue book. He was saying to me, this is far better, Rita, than me showing people. The people that I have called to enjoy the blue book. The people that I have called to spend that hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament, those are the people that will receive a real treasure of knowing my love more deeply and loving one another. And as soon as you think you got something down, man, there comes Satan knocking on the door. And guess what? He's got a bag for your head. And sometimes you have to lift your arms high, like when you're putting a coat or something on a baby. and push that old bag off your head and say, you ain't getting in here, you old Satan. But he may allow us to suffer. And every time that he lets us go through the suffering and we keep looking at the face of Jesus and the blood on his cheeks and the crown on his head, every time we keep looking at that, there's the day later. And it may not be a day. It may be several weeks or however long he allows us to go through a trial. But he moves it out of our way and he gives us a light to see the resurrection and to experience a greater fullness in his life. Dealing with God is wonderful. We can't say, well, I go to the store and I bought my food and then I did my laundry and then I took care of the kids and then I did this and then I did that. And then think that I'm going to have a relationship with God by doing nothing. God loves us so much. And in everything that we do, whatever it is, he is teaching us about his love and how to love one another. It's not like, you know, we go to church on Sunday for an hour. Fine. Here's the religion part. 60 minutes, okay? And then over here, here's the rest of my life. It isn't like that. The Blue Book message is clearly telling us that he lives in us every single second and every moment. It's a teaching to grow in greater life in him. He is our spouse. He is one in us. And you say, well, maybe you got that all down, but I don't. And that's not true. None of us have it all down. All of us are reaching more and more every day to grow in greater perfection and be more likened to God. Because there's three persons and one God. And they unite most perfectly. But if you take three of us and put us in a little closet, I'll bet we wouldn't stay in there very long. Because some of my imperfections would poke you in the ribs. And I don't want yours at all because I've already felt a few. But he gives us a measuring stick. A measuring stick of knowing love to greater perfection in these messages that he's given to us. As you read the messages, as I worked through the fourth blue book, and I bet you I read it 10 times, my life is not changed to the dimension that I feel it changing now as I read the fifth blue book, that somebody can come up and be really, really snarly. And if I've really been saturated in that, done my hour, and gone to Mass, I may suffer, but I should be able to handle that suffering in love. The second the vindictiveness, the second the anger gets in where I want to do something to somebody else, you know you're off. And that's where the lack of peace comes. I promise you, as a messenger from God, that if you live by these letters of love that he has given to us and you spread those to the people that are open, especially our priest, that you yourself will experience a joy and a peace that you never even knew was possible because it all is his grace. It is how he outpours that grace. It's going to the Eucharist. I don't know, I guess it was the retreat. I can't remember what talk this was. But the second that the anger gets in there and we open up the door, we're opening up a door to Satan to be in that problem that we have. The second that we stay rooted to God, even though we're suffering, relying on His might, relying on His time, and suffering can be intense. God is always working with us. When we stay united to Him, He's always with us. Even in the suffering, we're never alone. The more you read these letters of love, the more they become a part of your life. And you can't say, well, you know, I'm going to read a sentence 20 days out of the month. I'm going to pull out my blue book and I'm going to read 2 sentences. I guarantee that that'll help you right then and there. But God is teaching us about a way of life, of loving more perfectly Him and one another. And for all our lives, we've been working with this, trying to do God's will, wondering what it is. He will make it clear as you read the letters of love that He has given. God created man in the image of Himself. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. Just think of that. I mean, I just, like I did the 2 mysteries of light that were on the internet the other day, and I was doing the Blue Book 6, and it's like you're climbing a high ladder, except that ladder, it is never going to end. It's just going to go higher and higher and higher, and the higher it goes, the more that my heart is satisfied. And as soon as you're up there on the top and you're really being connected to God and loving Him, guess what? Some little kid is going to come and bump the bottom of the ladder. And you're going to fall right on your nose. And you're going to say, but I liked it up there. And now here I am and I've got all these scuff marks all over me and I'm down on the ground and I want to cry. And God says, I carried my cross and I got up 3 times. And I show you that you too will carry the crosses, but I'll take you up the ladder. And in this imperfect world, in dealing with others and working on your own imperfections, you'll have days of suffering and days of immense joy that you would have never, ever knew as you go higher and higher on the ladder to the reality that God is this great and all good. To me, my heart is enveloped in the joy that I have been given from the apparitions of the Virgin Mary long ago before she ever appeared here in the revelations. And yet, it's a constant struggle of being in an imperfect world, of dealing with ourselves, of knowing what God has revealed to me, and seeing the shortage of the priest and feeling like every time I go to the Eucharist, I'm bleeding inside. Because in the realization of the greatness of the Eucharist and the shortage of the priest, I'm like I was in the back of Immaculata crying to God, can't you give them a sign? And I say, can't you do something? And He says, I've given you all this stuff to do. If people don't respond to it, it'll come out later. It's their loss if they do not realize the greatness
of the messages and the gift that is given here. Because in this lies our peace and joy. In spreading this message to others, we are helping souls. In giving the mass book to a priest or the blue book for, would you rather hear the priest hold the Eucharist up for a long time while you can just enjoy the great gift of it? Or have him go, poof, poof. One blue book can make a difference to a priest's life. Priests are so open and thirsty today. They know what the shortage of the priest is like. A lot of them are overworked. They've been called to a new level of committing themselves in love to God that they never knew before, and their hearts are open. And God has given us these messages. How can we say that we are part of this movement, part of the Virgin Mary building, part of this plan to help lead the souls to this era of peace in which the Sacred Heart of Jesus will reign and the Immaculate Heart will triumph, and not realize the great gift God has given to us in these revelations? I never realized, even myself, what a treasure every message is in this Blue Book 5 until I spent 2 days just solidly reading them. And I was so thankful to God. Thankful for the joy of my soul to reach a heightened level of awareness of what it is to live on this earth with God's life in us. To know what it is to live, that it is, as he says, to love God and to love one another. Naturally, to love ourselves. How could we love God and not love ourselves? I mean, the two kind of go hand in hand. Loving God reveals to us the specialness and the preciousness of the gift that God has given in ourselves. Father Carter would always say, read it. If you could see your own gray soul, you would just fall over. That gift that God gives to us in the sharing of his life and baptism. And as we go to the Eucharist and we get saturated more and more with God's life and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwell within us more intently, and we're saturated with God's life in us, we ought to shine out there. Can you deprive the priest of this gift to be aware what it is? That God is love. And if we are not talking about love, personal love, union with God and with one another, we're missing the boat. It is the way of the future that God is leading the world. And the one thing that I have gotten revealed to me so clearly today, that with Fatima, that she appeared at the same time as World War I, and she said, if you don't do this, there's going to be World War II. I'll tell you, you might think it's little that we sit here and pray here, but the one thing Father Carter told me before he died is he said, Rita, don't ever lose the building. Before the Priestly newsletter and anything else, don't ever lose the building. And so the walls go up over here and the highway goes up over there. And I say to you and anyone that is listening, I believe that if something would happen, that we cease to pray here or the building is taken away from us, I believe from what God has told me today that we will have World War III. So when you come here on the 5th, bear in mind the memory that I had of September the 5th, 2001, when this window was black as coal. And several days later, there was a 2001 mishap. Bear in mind that the head of Mary was knocked off on March the 1st, 2004. And the first big hurricane made its way on August the 13th of 2004. Then September the 5th of 2004. Then August the 13th of 2004. And you say, that's nothing. We've been talking about the fists and Mary's desire for us to pray here for years. And every 13th. And the head gets knocked off, and I was in the church in West Virginia, where naturally there were five churches, two of them closed. There was a priest of three church. He was sweating up a storm because all the people were irate because they took their priest away. And mad. That's the thing. I mean, we got three churches and one priest. I remember in a message that priest was, or that church was on its side. That's when Satan gets in. He gets in with this stupid division, and people just, that's not like being like God when we're divided. If we're going to be holy, then we must always work for oneness. We must work with what we have to bring us the Eucharist. If we got three churches and one priest, you're better off than three churches and no priest. And you better count your lucky stars rather than giving that poor priest just a really hard time. His face was all red and he was sweating and the people were mad. And I went in that church to pray. And I said to God the Father, won't you please bring Mary's head back? How can you do this? And then he said, they knocked off the head of the Virgin Mary. Make reparation. And it was like, oh yeah, you're right. That was a pretty awful thing that the human race did to this great image of the Virgin Mary. And then I kind of slid down in my seat and shut up for a while because I thought, man, I'm supposed to be praying to God the Father to help make reparation for what we did to Mary's image here, rather than sitting here and whining, you took Mary's head away. But you know, I'm sitting here tonight and I'm looking, and I was talking to some people and they're saying, you know, well, if Mary's head had come back, then we'd believe. My husband being one of them. Well, I'll believe when her head comes back. Okay. I'll believe when her head comes back. What about the 7.5 years when Mary's head was there and she was dot by dot, same way as Our Lady Guadalupe? And I remember when the corner fell off of the Holy Spirit Center, and I said to myself, then they'll believe me. And they didn't believe. The smoke went sky high after I got a message, and it was the biggest boom they ever heard. This isn't about making people believe me. This is about doing all that I can to help myself be as God wills me to be. Loving Him, loving one another. This is about telling people what Jesus told Father Carter about starting the prayer chapters and the messages that are here, and then experiencing the peace that all is in His hands. All is in His hands. The reality of the great gift of heaven for all eternity. And you know, you go to so many funerals, like my brother who's a priest, his housekeeper. I mean, we just went through the kitchen talking to her. She answered the phone, and next thing I knew, I'm in the room with the dead body. It was awful. But it's always that thin paper wall between here and there, and it's promised to none of us. It can be a three-year-old kid, as Father Mike was at Children's Hospital for 21 years and watched child after child after child die. Or it can just be a natural thing, like my mom of 95 dying. None of us are going to get out of here alive. That's the bottom line. And what's going to happen is the old boat is just going to end up saying, and then everything that we cannot touch, our love and our hearts and our joy, we'll move on for all eternity. What a promise is that? So why, I mean, I need a little work on my ship, I'm sure. But why do we spend so much time and neglect the spiritual life? Neglect that part that will go on forever. If I say one thing I want to say this tonight, is I do the messages more and more. And some days it's really hard to do the messages because of distractions and problems and other things. But they're a part of me growing into greater life. So I want to put out all the blue books because I am so aware of the treasure that they are and how they are all different. God is teaching us His way in the blue books. A way to see a vision that was dimmed in the garden. God is opening up our eyes. He is opening up our hearts to feel that satisfaction that comes in deeper life in Him. This is real. I don't care what's going on. The reality of how short our life is and how long eternity is and how we will experience eternity based on the mature level that we grew in greater life in Him here below is what is real. Why aren't we all worrying about loving God and loving one another? But you know that God has given to each one of us a special grace to be here this night. He is touching our hearts to let us see with a wider vision, to experience problems differently, to know His comforting hand always with us, and to be able to crawl into His heart in the heart of Mary when I lay my head on the pillow at night. And for those days when we wake up and we say, and you pick up your blue book and it says, today is going to be a great day. And you're thinking, wow, He hasn't seen what's really going on here. And then He says, and you will experience greater life in Me. And after we get through the suffering, we will experience a new level of life in Him. So He is telling us exactly what is right. But we don't see it when we're looking at His suffering face. We don't see it in the problem. And yet the problems, the dying to the things that are not like Him, you know, we could just be absorbed with pride and thinking that what is important here is my name and me, me, me.
I have to go into Claire's boutique with one of my daughters, and she's buying funny things, and they have little things for my grandkids. And they have these cute bunnies that are just like so darling, and they're on like little magnets, and they're in books, and they're on slippers, and they're really, this bunny says an awful thing. Like, you look at this darling bunny, it's like something my 3-year-old grandchild would have, and then it says, I thought of you yesterday, and I puked a little. I mean, it's so awful. Oh, I got a spasm in my stomach. I guess I shouldn't have said that. Sorry, Jesus. Gosh. The one little bunny that is like so darling, you look at him and then he says, it's all about me. How many times a day, instead of thinking about how things are all about me, do we really need to stop and say the prayer for union and realize that it is in the selflessness that our peace lies? Those in the St. Ignatius spiritual exercises, which is what we do in China. So we have a retreat in China, and we have 4 days. The first day we meditate, well, it's all the spiritual exercises, meditate on the joyful mysteries of the rosary. Second day, the mysteries of light. The third day, the sorrowful mysteries. And the fourth day, the resurrection. It's all done in front of the exposed Eucharist, and there's a Mass every day, unless there's a Sunday in it, and then we don't have the Mass. But there's a tremendous amount of grace that is outpoured in that. And in the spiritual exercises, and St. Ignatius is talking about that, he's talking about the things that are really our enemies are pride and worrying about affection. Doing things for our own glory. There's 3 things. Wealth. Those are really enemies when they become our gods. And the first principle that he talks about is doing all things for the honor and glory of God. Now you think of this, you've got the whole human race and all the talents that all these people have that are numerous. If we really knew how talented we all were, if we loved God with this burning love and we knew that we could do so many things to please him. And everybody was doing everything for the honor and glory of God. Just think what a world we would have. Instead of doing it for their own vain glory. Well, then they'll like me. And then they'll think I'm good. And then I'll think I'm good. So then all the hurts that I had from the past that made me think that I wasn't good enough are going to be healed because I'm going to do this thing. And then they're going to end up liking me. And after they like me, then I'll like me. Isn't that kind of dumb? That's what Jesus says to the soul in these songs. You are precious to me. You I love. We are unique and precious and wonderful. I don't have to go to you to you think I'm going to be great. So then if I do something that's really wonderful, like I did in a message and I wrote about it, my brother's a priest and he'd bring the seminarians over there. And the seminarians would eat lunch there. So I was like 16. And so I was always cooking but never followed the recipes. Because I was going to be better than the recipe. And then after I made the thing for whoever I was making it for, then they were going to think it was the best thing that they ever ate in their life. And then after they did that, then they were going to tell me how great I was. It had nothing to do with cooking for them. I mean, it just had to do with that. Like that buddy says, it's all about me. So anyway, so I had the story in the message where I fixed this curried shrimp, but I didn't know nothing about curry, and I never followed the recipes. I mean, I'm a math person, so I never like to read a lot of stuff, I guess. I don't have any idea, but anyway, I would never follow the recipe. And I'd always try to make it better. If it asked for this much, I'd put more in there, because it was going to be the best thing that anybody ever ate. But then they were going to think I was great. How many of those things that we do in our own lives where we put all of this stuff in here that God ain't telling us to put in there? Here's our pot, okay? Here's today. Here it is. And God says, I want you to do this, 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 and this. And because we're weak ourselves, because we're not loving ourselves enough, we're going to put in there everything in that pot so everybody that sees us is going to go, wow! And that's not what God was asking us for at all. He was just asking us to be the way he wanted us to be that day. But because we don't see the preciousness to God that we are, and that's what the blue books do, because we don't even really realize that God, to his death on the cross, loved us so much that he would die for us today. Because we're going the roundabout way. Okay, I get up today and I want to feel good about myself. So what am I going to do? I'm going to do something so good that I'm going to put this in the pot that he's going to like me, she's going to like me, they're going to like me. And at the end of the day, like doing a math problem, I'm going to add up, say 10 people liked me, and then I'm going to sit there and get a warm fuzzy. They all liked me. And that's not God's way. God says, I love you so much, I give you the mass, and I give you myself. I am the divine God, and I come to you no less present than the day that Mary carried me in her womb, or I walked the earth, or hung on the cross. You are my chosen one. Why do we gotta go to a human person? I mean, it's nice if somebody likes us. But we're disempowering ourselves. What God wants is for us to know how loved we are and then give that love to others. The person that's coming from this place where they say, well, you're going to like me. You're going to like me. You're going to like me. Oh, now I'm getting another cramp. I guess God didn't like that either. I never get cramps in my stomach. I'm too old to have a baby. My kids all have babies. I guess it was the devil that did that. He just thought he'd distract me. Who knows? I just don't know. I forget what I was saying because I remember one time, Father Carter used to say Mass at the China Church every day, and it was so awesome. Because I would be there, and then I went into ecstasy this one time while he was in Mass, and I had my hand under the pew, and a wasp stung me. It was like, that ecstasy was not wasp-proof. That's I was like this, you know? And I was starting to cry, and I was so close to God because I was realizing he was truly present, and I had my hand under that, in China, under that front pew there. And this wasp bit me. And that was the end of that. Well, then I did get to go to communion, but I mean, I had this wasp sting on my finger. That can kind of be how we are, though. The other way around, we can be like a wasp sting, and then God can give us a grace, and then we can really, really, really realize how deeply he truly loves us. Have you ever had that? You're at Mass, and you're not feeling anything too special, and then all of a sudden God gives you this grace. And it's like such a gift. I mean, God is really working with us. Isn't that awesome? You know, we don't see him. And yet, he's working with us at every minute. The divine God lives inside of us. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's alive. I remember that when he said that. It was May the 25th, 1995. It's in the back of the Apostles' Manual. I know that. And I had this experience with the Father where I really realized how our prayers can affect the whole world. But how can little old me sitting here praying affect something on the other side of the world? But it can. By the might of God, that can affect the world. And then Jesus came in and I got this tremendous suffering. And then he hollered out, I am alive, I am alive, I am alive. And I am treated like a dead object. All I have to say is God is awesome. He is alive. He is in our hearts. He loves us so intimately, and I don't have to go over there to find out how precious I am. All I have to do is go to the Eucharist, to go to God, to pray to God for the grace to help me to be empowered in knowing how much he loves me, so that then I can act more like Christ in giving to others. What did Christ do? Christ, who was all love, gave his love. He was always going out. If we're going to be this person that's going to go to another person, we're mopping them. I'll take a little bit of you, take a little bit of you, take a little bit of you. Then I'm going to sit back and say, wow. That's not the deal. The deal is to be like Christ. And how is Christ? God, who is divine love, when he walked the earth, always going out, giving his love, giving himself. Love is giving for the good of the other. Giving. And in the world today, I remember Father Carter said this in one of his books, in chapter 8, a response to God's love, in dealing with one another and people getting married, the guy said, well, the reason I got married was to get love. And he said that that's why there's so many divorces. God loves us so deeply, and to be likened to him, we have to be actors of giving that love to others, of realizing how temporary this life is here below, and saying yes to this image. What is this image all about? I'll tell you what the image is about. It's about a priesthood right now that is diminishing. It's about nuns and brothers that are so scarce. This big body of people that used to pray for the priests, the church, and the world that has diminished enormously. It's about priests, lots of them, that just aren't there and they're not celebrating the Mass. And then it's about this pot of evil that's over here that's even attacking the priests and the families, the marriages, the youth that's all over here. And where's the body of people that are praying? And then why do you think at the end of the second 2000 whatever that the Virgin Mary, sent by God the Father, would not appear on this building to bring these messages of love to the world that is hurting, that is reaching for these things, that is going out to the world to find what God himself is giving to us in abundance in the Eucharist? Help me do what God has asked me to do. Say yes to the mission of being an apostle of God, of spreading the blue books,
to the dimension you feel that God is calling you, of praying the prayers in the prayer manual for the priests, the church, and the world, going to Mass and being so close in that Mass, praying to God to outpour His grace and His mercy on the earth, because He will do that. Uniting all through the day to the Mass's